I have great pleasure in welcoming the President of the European Council. Mr. President.
Mr. President of the General Assembly, Mr. Secretary General, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. A year ago, when we met in this General Assembly, we joined our voices to deplore that the Syrian civil war had claimed over 25,000 lives. 1 year on, it has killed over 100,000 men, women, and children. The number of refugees from 250,000 last September doubled by December, then doubled again by March, and then it doubled again. And today, there are 2 million Syrians outside their country, half of them children, and under current trends, close to doubling again. There may be 3.5 million refugees before the year is over. We cannot let this spiral of criminal sectarian violence pursue its dreadful course at the heart of the world's most unstable region. What will the situation be when we meet again next year? Ladies and gentlemen, any further paralysis of the international community over Syria is simply untenable. It was already true this summer, but worse was yet to come. 5 weeks ago, in the outskirts of Damascus, a new threshold of tragedy, a crime against humanity, and in response, the stakes were raised. And today, we are in a new situation. The European Union welcomes the diplomatic opening created in order to control and destroy Syria's chemical weapons. It is important in itself. We absolutely must avoid a dreadful precedent being set on the use of chemical weapons, an abhorrent crime against humanity. The role of the United Nations in this respect is indispensable and has been underscored time and again by the 28 governments of the European Union. After the UN Secretary General's report and the inventory of its arsenal provided by the Syrian regime, it's urgent for the Security Council, together with the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, to take the necessary decisions to ensure the swift and secure destruction of Syrians' poison gas and nerve agents stocks. A clear resolution by the Security Council would mark a turn, and I plea for its adoption. Eliminating Syria's chemical arsenal is in itself a major step. Potentially, it could also be important for the wider dynamics in the region. Clearly, the conflict wrecking Syria reflects many of the deep-seated tensions rippling throughout the Middle East. It is fed by these tensions and fuels them as well. So a resolution for Syria will need to take into account the wider picture. And that's why any political opening matters deeply. A breakthrough on chemical weapons could start opening other doors. In the black wall of Syria's doom, it will be a first crack. Paradoxically, there is more scope for quiet hope today than even a few weeks ago. Because if commitments can be upheld and promises kept on chemical weapons, if lines of communication can reopen, if we can find an agreement within the international community and at the Security Council, if we can do all this on chemical weapons, then chances are we can do it elsewhere. There must be ways to open opportunities. But when new opportunities arise, we must seize them. Only then will we see the outlook improve for Syria. Now is indeed the moment to work actively towards Geneva II. As international community, we must fully engage with all available diplomatic means. And the first priority is to bring all parties to the negotiating table, those close to Damascus and those close to the Syrian opposition must do all within their power to draw each side to the table. The European Union is ready to provide all support needed to achieve a political settlement. And elsewhere in the region, too, new opportunities must and can be seized, not least in the Middle East peace process, where prospects for progress look better than they have for some time. All parties are returning to the negotiating table with renewed seriousness. For the European Union, the parameters are clear. Palestine and Israel must be able to fulfill their legitimate aspirations. Two states living side by side in peace and security. Now both parties must seize the moment. And we also hope the expectations currently building around the new Iranian leadership will translate into concrete steps. In the interest of the regional stability and for the nuclear talks, where all efforts to find a negotiating solution through the work of the E3+3, led by EU High Representative Catherine Ashton, have the European Union's full support. Both these developments, with Israel and Palestine, with Iran, can be mutually reinforcing with what is currently happening around Syria. They all must be done to forge the path to political solution. Ladies and gentlemen, when Geneva 2 starts, we have to be honest with ourselves. It will not be easy. Ending a war never is. It will require political will and a real sense of compromise. But we must recognize that the cost of hesitating, of not engaging, would be much higher, and not only for the people of Syria. Every day counts. With every day of unforgivable violence, bitterness and trauma go deeper, radicalization and warlordism gain ground, hatred and despair win. Every day, reconciliation in Syria and around Syria becomes harder. And we in Europe, we know that reconciliation is the hardest thing. The countries of our continent only agreed to live peacefully together after many wars and many civil wars, with huge numbers of victims, a price we never want others to have to pay. And we know reconciliation is even harder inside a country than between countries. No longer waging war is one thing, living again together quite another. Syria, as a country, as a nation, is being destroyed beyond recognition. It will take time, courage, and perseverance to build an inclusive, a united, democratic Syria, where all Syrians can feel they belong and where all share a common future, regardless of their identity, regardless of their religion. The promise of the Arab Spring must be met in Syria too, just it must in Egypt and beyond. At heart, it is a shared yearning for democracy, for tolerance, for social justice, a powerful message in which we still believe. But on this long path, the Syrians will need all the help they can get, just as others before, including we in Europe, received support when mending their nations. And the United Nations can play an important role in helping the country re-establish unity and in helping Syria eventually find justice, ensuring there is no impunity and that individual perpetrators of war crimes are held accountable. We Europeans are ready to play our part in helping Syria rebuild its nation, just as we are engaged today on the ground in the humanitarian effort in Syria and in the countries to which refugees have flown, not least Lebanon and Jordan, where the situation is extremely worrying. Our countries and institutions are working closely with the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees to bring food, protection and shelter, as well as medical help and education. By far the biggest aid provider for Syria, jointly we have already provided 1.8 billion euro or 2.4 billion US dollars. And we know more will be needed. Excellence, mesdames et messieurs.
Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. Europe is prepared to continue to play its role in the world. With many countries in Africa and Latin America and Asia, from the Mediterranean to the Caspian, the EU is a faithful development partner, a peace partner and a security partner for the MDGs and for global prosperity through open commerce. A solid partner in combating barbarism and extremism, where events in Kenya, Pakistan and Iraq are recent manifestations and tragic events. In spite of the financial crisis, which sorely tests our economies, we will not draw away from our responsibilities throughout the world. In spite of the crisis, we have maintained all European financing for development and humanitarian action in our common European budget, although we are reducing the scope. In spite of the crisis, we are pursuing our political and financial commitment against climate change in Europe and throughout the world, and we will lend our full support to the international conference scheduled for Paris in 2015. And finally, in spite of the crisis, in the last 2 years, the EU launched no fewer than five new missions, European missions, civilian or military, to support the reconstruction of Mali and South Sudan, to reestablish security in the Sahel and along the borders of Libya, as well as off of the coast of Somalia. We've also, in 2013, renewed the operations mandate in Afghanistan, in Georgia, as well as in DRC. Because Europe, on the grounds of crisis and conflict, you have doctors, you have people specializing in emergencies, agronomists, engineers, you have judges, police, military people, men and women who help their local counterparts in efforts to stabilize a country, to reestablish order and the rule of law, to restore the sense of justice, and to give confidence in the future.
Europe is not disengaging, even despite the economic difficulties that the past years have brought. The global financial crisis that started in this very city 5 years ago shook Europe and brought forth global imbalances that we have worked hard to address. We are putting our house in order and expect others to do so too. Correcting internal imbalances and pursuing structural reforms is needed in countries all across the globe. For us, the results are starting to show. Today, the Eurozone is financially in better shape than 12 months ago. The existential threat to the euro area is over, and we are now fully focusing on improving prospects for employment and growth. We have launched deep efforts focused on the long term. It takes time before results show in terms of strong economic growth and jobs. But once they start to do so, and as they are now, they will be more lasting. And next year, economic growth is projected for all but one of our 28 countries. Our political will to preserve Europe's unity cannot be underestimated. We have shown it these past 5 years, for ultimately, it is a political project that unites us to bring together countries, to bring together people. Monsieur le Président de l'Assemblée.
Mr. President, Secretary General, Excellencies, delegates. In this month of September 2013, here in New York, the international community can and must renew itself. It's our common responsibility for all of us here present
to translate positive signs into concrete progress for peace and prosperity. I call for negotiation, therefore, for dialogue, for the conclusion of international agreements, in the conviction, which is the very foundation of this institution, the conviction that progress in international policy requires a free exchange of ideas among parties. It's true for Syria, both for chemical weapons as for Geneva II. It's true for the Middle East peace process, for nuclear talks with Iran. But it's also true for the other great global challenges. It's from here, from New York, that new impetus must be given and must come for the next great global meetings on climate change in Warsaw in November, on open commerce in Bali in December, or on financial regulations, the G20 in Brisbane next year. An exchange of ideas which brings upon acts is an action, it is itself an act of hope, and it's particularly hope that we need.
All hands. Merci. Thank you.